So it seems there's plenty of opportunity for amateur astronomers and space scientists to work together. But I still wanted to know more about why the four gas giants all have such different appearances, despite the fact that they have quite similar compositions. John already mentioned that this has a lot to do with the amount of haze in the atmospheres of each of them. But where did this haze come from? I put the question to Lee Fletcher.
Sure, it's a very difficult problem to try and unravel. And if you look at all four of the giant planets and compare them, you see that each one is slightly different. Now, they all started, we believe, from similar source material. So the vast majority of all of these giant planets is hydrogen and helium that was sucked in from the solar nebula back at the time when the planets were first forming. The rest of the material there are molecules and elements that were mixed in later on over the course of time. And so they're there in very tiny trace quantities. We've already talked about ammonia, and it's ammonia that is the key volatile in these atmospheres that condenses out to form the clouds. But we also believe there's a lot of water vapor there, and that water vapor should be condensed in very deep water clouds far below the levels that we can see. And there's a lot of methane gas there as well. So these simple molecules, things like methane and water and ammonia, can then be split apart by ultraviolet radiation from the sun. And it's that chemistry, those chemical reactions, which leads to the very different compositions and the very different appearances that we see on all four giants. Now, methane is a really crucial constituent in that when you split apart methane, you form these chains of extremely long hydrocarbon molecules. And those hydrocarbons can form haze particles or smog particles within the atmospheres of these giants. Of course, the amount of chemistry you have, you might have more haze particles. The more haze you have, the slightly different colours you'll have from planet to planet. So something like Jupiter, where you see the cloud tops very clearly, has very little overlying haze layers, meaning that we can see the deep red and the white colours of the clouds. Contrast that with something like Saturn, where the appearance is often much more bland than Jupiter. On Saturn, there's a lot more haze material, and that haze just prevents us from seeing quite as deep into the planet's atmosphere.
You've alluded there to the fact that the solar system has four gas giants, and obviously we're very used to seeing lots of images of Jupiter and Saturn, but most of the images that I've seen of Uranus and Neptune, the two outermost gas giants, have come from Voyager 2 in the 1980s. Are we now able to take images of those from the ground?
So the last time that any spacecraft visited Uranus and Neptune, what we know as the ice giants in our solar system, was back in the late 1980s, a quarter of a century ago now, which I think is quite a sad thing. Now, thankfully, we have both space-based observatories, things like the Hubble Space Telescope, and also very large ground-based observatories like the Very Large Telescope in Chile, the Gemini and Keck telescopes out in Hawaii. And these are capable of resolving cloud features and dynamic meteorology on the atmospheres of the ice giants. It's only been in recent years that we've been able to start doing this and to actually track cloud features on Uranus and Neptune in the same way as amateurs are now doing for Jupiter and Saturn. And what we're seeing is that Uranus and Neptune have similar banded structures. So they have the belts and zones which characterize something like Jupiter. And they also exhibit every now and then white convective plumes, so columns of rising material that dredge stuff from deeper down in the atmospheres, just like we see on Jupiter and Saturn. So again, it's the same fluid dynamic processes, the same physics, the same chemistry, which is shaping the appearance of the ice giants as is shaping the gas giants. The reason for their very different appearance, so Uranus and Neptune appear blue and Jupiter and Saturn appear a multitude of colours, is because the amount of material is there in different ratios. For example, on Uranus and Neptune, a lot of what we see in the upper atmosphere is methane gas. Methane gas absorbs very strongly in red light, leaving the rest to be reflected back as blue, which is why you see the blue appearance of those two planets.
Now, I guess one of the obvious characteristics of the Earth's atmosphere is that its weather changes with the seasons. Mm-hmm. Do the gas giants also have changing weather with the seasons?
They certainly do. Seasonal evolution is now a big field in the gas giant community. It's taken a while for us to get there, and the simple reason for that is that Saturn takes 30 Earth years to go around the sun. Something like Neptune takes 165 years to go around the sun. So seasons are much, much longer than we used to here on planet Earth. And that means you need long-term data sets to start to track how things are changing with time. Now, the best characterized planet in terms of seasonal evolution is now Saturn. And that's because we've had the Cassini spacecraft there in orbit since middle of 2004. So operating almost for a decade now to give us a third of a Saturnian year. Now, when we first arrived at Saturn, it was summertime in Saturn's southern hemisphere. So the sun was more illuminating in the south than it was in the north. And we noticed that the northern hemisphere that was just coming out of wintertime conditions appeared blue compared to the normal yellow and ochre appearance that you would expect for Saturn. Now, over the course of the mission, we've now passed through what we call the spring equinox, and we're on our way to summertime conditions in the northern hemisphere, so almost half a Saturnian year later. And as those seasons have marched on, that blue coloration in the northern winter has been slowly replaced by the typical yellow colors, and we're seeing before our very eyes Saturn's atmosphere change and evolve depending on how much sun is reaching different latitudes over time.
And I guess you've hinted that Juno is what's going to bring us that kind of coverage for Jupiter. What can we expect in the coming years?
Now, Juno is going to be particularly exciting because for Saturn, we've been able to look down at the poles of the giant planet using Cassini, and there's been some very interesting discoveries at very high latitudes, such as hexagonal waves and very compact hurricanes situated right at the poles of this planet. Now, on Jupiter, we've never seen the poles directly. The only mission that got a fleeting glimpse was Pioneer back in the 70s. So Juno will be in a polar orbit and able to look down on Jupiter's poles for the first time. So who knows what we might discover there.
That was Lee Fletcher from the Atmospheric, Oceanic and Planetary Physics Group at the University of Oxford. And if all of this talk of the gas giants has got you keen to go out and spot them for yourself in the night sky, then Saturn is quite easy to spot just at the moment in the evening sky, not far from the star Spica. Jupiter, on the other hand, isn't visible just at the moment because it passed behind the Sun within the last week on the 19th of June. But as we get towards the end of 2013, it'll be high in the sky once again in the northern constellation of Gemini.